the month of August, we've had two meetings a week every Monday and Friday with the housing agency. And just so that people are clear, the housing agency chief executive, John O'Connor, is also on the wider working group. But him and his team have been working with us twice a week for 2 hours each time and answering questions that we have and around how the operation of the pay rate scheme, the housing agency oversee the pay rate scheme in Leinster or the Greater Leinster area. So what's happened is, a lot of the issues that we were confronted with and questions that we had and we're trying to work through, well, how could that work? We've been helped significantly and greatly by John O'Connor and his team. Now, in addition to that, we also have recommenced meetings with some of the members of the actual wider working group, and those commenced the week before last. So we've had another about three meetings with them again. So to give you an update as to where we are, we now have a very clear position, or we're starting to really forge a very clear position from the working group's perspective, from the families' perspectives. We have a very clear understanding as to what we are willing to concede on and what we're not. And as we move into the next few weeks, really, we propose that we will have a document that we submit to the department as family representatives.
And are you confident that what the stage that we're at this point now is we're substantiating the argument for 100% recess with proper data, you know, what we've seen previously, costings and all of that kind of stuff? So rather than, you know, aspiring to it and hoping someone figures it out somewhere, that we're at the point now where we're seeing costings and we're seeing a very, very strong argument and we're reflecting on what one went before. So it leaves the housing minister, I suppose, in quite a difficult position to decline this.
That's the idea, Greg. And just to give you a wee bit of an update too, over the last few weeks, we've developed what we call a kind of a cost calculator for repairing homes, in particular for demolish and rebuild. Now, that was enabled because the housing agency gave us some figures and gave us a starting point and said, look, if you're going to back to the department and they're asking you, and they have been asking us, what do you mean by 100%? You can't just say 100%. What does that actually mean? Mm-hmm. So we've gone back to the drawing board and we've developed, based on these SCSI figures, which the government used themselves, and we have modified these figures depending on the MICA situation or the pirate situation. And Joe Morgan from Letterkenny, who you probably know, has been working over the last few weeks and really refining that with the housing agency, even offline in separate meetings.
So is it a case, Eileen, of trying to get to a point, right, where we're not talking, you know how the government's saying, look, there has to be caps, right? We're not talking about caps then in the entire scheme. So in other words, capping it at 10 billion or something, picking figures out of my head. But in terms of each individual project as the application goes through, that there is a cap. But that's not a cap to say that you can't finish your house. That's to say that here is a structure and that's how much it should cost and you build it within that. Are we moving to that position when we sort of hear the word cap?
Well, there's existing caps within the scheme. So, for example, there's a cap of €275,000 in the existing scheme. Now, that includes 10% contribution to the family, and that you end up with around the 240 or so mark. Now, that's existing caps. What we're looking at is what the real cap should be, depending on the size of your house. So we're working that out, and we're quantifying that, and we presented those figures. I'm trying to think, because it's Friday last week, to the department. Joe presented the calculator to the department, and we're very clearly showing that the existing caps are completely and utterly way out, that they don't work, that they can't, they're not taking into account a huge amount of costs that are incurred by families under the MICA scheme. So it really gives us a very strong position, and really where we're at, Greg, is that that's our position. We've done our homework. Okay. We've worked over the summer, and we won't be changing that position
now,
ultimately.
How does it factor in the increasing cost of materials, which still could go up? And of course, you know, there's only a certain amount of people available to do this work. Now, we're not going to get everything done in the first year, we accept that, but you know, construction goes on generally, and then there's this extra work on top of that, so there's going to be a premium for that. The last scheme didn't factor in inflation or variables like that. Has that been factored into this sort of evaluation system?
Yes. So to give you an idea, and I mentioned the SDSI calculator, so as a mechanism that the government used to look at how much building costs are each year, there's an inflation-linked update each year with SDSI costs, and we literally plug that into our calculator so that each year the inflation increases in costs will be reflected in the calculator. So that's all in. And again, you're absolutely right. I mean, at 275, they hadn't ever intimated that they were going to change that, depending on inflation. And you can see over the last even 6 months, the price increases have been significant. So we've gone back and said, we have to change all this. And the way where we are now, Greg, really, is that we feel very strongly that we are in a position where we won't be moving on our position in relation to some of these things. Mm-hmm. And it kind of brings in the conversations we've been having with Joe McHugh and Dara Cleary from Mayo and Minister Charlie McConnell yesterday. So over the last few weeks, we've been saying to him, look, we are really quite confident now in our position. We have an informed position, and we have spoken to the department and will continue to document that position over the few weeks. Right. But this is likely to come to a government decision. Let's be very clear. This is likely to land on the cabinet table sometime in September or October. And ultimately, it's important that all of the TDs and the ministers are informed as to how we got to this position, and more importantly, that they back 100% that we the asks of the Micah family. So, and that's why those meetings are now very important.
Are we trying to get to a position then whereby homeowners are satisfied that this is 100% redress, but it's done in a situation where the government is satisfied that it can sign off on that? Do you think we're... Because that's the way it's going to have to be, sort of like, you know, the two circles and that bit that sort of crosses over in the middle. Do you think we could possibly be in that space at this point?
I'm not really sure what you mean, Greg, if you
don't
mind. Well,
what I'm trying to say is that government's not going to sign off on 100% redress, no bother, everything's fine, right? And the families are very specific what they want. So there has to be a way that the government is satisfied that it can sign off on this scheme, with all the caveats that have been leaked out and dripped out by ministers, but also the people that you represent are happy. Do you think there can be a middle ground where it can be agreed that we can get a scheme over the line?
Well, I can honestly tell you what our position is. And our position is, and this has been, we've had a lot of pushback in terms of this is going to cost a lot. And you're absolutely right. The government, pushing back, saying we can't, cost the exchequer too much and so on. But our position on this is that we have all bought and paid our hope for our homes. And however the government come up with a solution for this, they have got to come up with a solution. And with all due respect, it's none of our business how they do that. And it's none of our concern. We've gone in with a position to say, this is what we need for families to be covered. They did not cause this problem, but you did. You have not adhered to legislation that is in place, and therefore it's up to you to fix it. So if I'm honest with you, Greg, it's less about us finding a middle ground. It's more about them finding a solution. That's the position we've
taken. Okay, and I get that. That makes an awful lot of sense. Now, in terms of, with the Pyrite scheme whereby people could repair a house, right, or a situation where people have investment properties, holiday homes, whatever that might be, is this part of the decision-making process now? Does the government have those proposals as well that they'll have to make decisions on? In terms of, broadening this scheme out a bit?
Well, they're going to have... I mean, at the minute it excludes, for example, what we call excluded homes, the government likes to call second properties. There's lots of things that are excluded that are not in line with Pyrite.
But my point is, you said there's going to be meetings taking place in September and October, okay? Will part of what the department or the cabinet are deciding on, is part of that to include expanding this scheme out so that people can, if they have two properties, maybe it's one property that can be repaired and not this principal private residence, or that they will also consider whether it will be extended to second properties? Is that part of this process now? Will they be deciding on that as well in September and October? That's what I'm getting at.
Okay, well, I can tell you what I know, which is that we'll have a position paper that we submit. The position paper is going to have our key demands, some of which include what you've just mentioned, which is about how to deal with excluded properties. That position paper will be put or will be incorporated into the final document of the working group. And ultimately, the government has to make a decision on each of those elements. And that's where we are. So I can't tell you exactly how that process will work, but I can tell you that that's how we work, that we will be holding firm on our asks, and it's up to them to deliver them the things that are what we call equitable. I mean, if you give an example, yesterday Michael Doherty went and met one of the other ministers, Norma Foley.
Yeah.
And she's one of the ministers who will also sit at the cabinet table, and she will have to make a decision on this and what is an equitable scheme for us. You know, she yesterday came out and said she supports our position, and she absolutely said, like, why should you accept anything about excluded homes? None of you caused this problem. So what we're doing is behind...
Well, ministers can say that individually, but they're going to have an opportunity collectively to decide on this. And I think it's important, like, that, as you say, getting Norma Foley's views on the record. We presume Charlie McConnell-Ogue will support us. That's two. You know, so it's a case of getting these people individually on the record, and then having a look at that as a cabinet decision. But Eileen, like, I know it's not as simple as this, right? But people listening, you know, you talk about what they'll decide on, what they will accept, what they won't accept, and what on. Like, what are the actual red lines here? You know, because you'll have to go back, not you, yeah. I use that generically, go back to families and say, look, this is what they're offering us. But I mean, what are the red lines in terms of what you will go back and what you won't go back to families with?
Well, I can tell you that there's a couple of absolutely clear red lines. And at the minute, one of them is what we call a state guarantee, but the government don't call a state guarantee. But effectively, if there's anything that isn't a demolish has some sort of guarantee by government, that currently doesn't exist with a scheme at the minute, which means that even after the outer leaf's replaced, there are issues or concerns around insurance and about value of your property. Now, in Pyrite, they have what's called a certificate of mediation, which is embedded within the legislation. That gives it a bit of credibility. We have nothing like that in our scheme. That's a complete red line for us. It doesn't matter if it needs to go back and change primary legislation, which they say it will. We still have got to work towards a solution for that.
It's hard to figure out how that will work, though, when we pretty much can presume if the outer block goes, the inner block will follow.
Well, at the minute, you see, that's the contention. But that, what we're saying is that if you think it's a reasonable ask for families to accept anything but a demolish, then we must...
Okay.
So we're saying to them, look, this is a guarantee.
And is 100% no cost to the homeowner a red line? An actual 100% no cost to the homeowner?
That's
unless they want to add something on or whatever. But, I mean, is that that is the red line, isn't it?
That's our position at the minute. I mean, we are looking at, you know, we've incorporated all the costs, such as upfront costs and connection, disconnection fees. We've even done things like, you know, if there's an insistence by the government that you use or reuse some of the material, the housing agency have advised us that even in that case, you would allocate a 60% cost, because the cost of removing them, storing them and refitting them would probably be about 60% of the cost of a new kitchen, for example. So we have everything in there. We have absolutely everything in there. And that is our position. And that's what we are absolutely asking the government for. And we're saying no family should have to pay anything towards fixing their homes.